Hey everyone, welcome to the Wrath of the Iotians podcast. We're two Gen X friends who chat about fantasy, horror, and science fiction books, movies, and streaming shows. We also interview some amazing authors and independent directors. This is Ron, and I'm here at the Seattle International Film Festival 2023. This is episode 71, an interview with Mike Simsez, the director of the short film The Unusualist. Mike and I were able to chat about his wonderful film at the Grand Hyatt Press Suite arranged by the SIFF Press team. Hey, this is Ron. I'm at the Seattle International Film Festival with Mike Simsez. He directed the film The Unusualist. And hey, Mike, tell us more about your film.
The tale begins in childhood, I think. I think I've heard you mention this show on your own show, In Search Of, with Leonard Nimoy. You were laughing with him.
Yes, I'm laughing because I love that show. And when I saw the description on Unusualist, I immediately thought to myself, In Search Of. So that's hilarious you bring that up.
It was in the middle of this weird 70s Cambrian explosion of shows just like that, where people would wear turtlenecks and they would interview people who saw the Loch Ness Monster.
Yet Leonard Nimoy was the host.
But one of my hero of heroes. So this, as a kid, I watched that show. I loved it. I love stories about ghosts and flying saucers and things. But then, as now, I scare really easily, so I always wanted a much more lighthearted take on that sort of thing. So our intention, at least, with this film, The Unusualist, is to make a kind of funny version of that show. And I think people who tell these sorts of stories or experience these sorts of things can view comedy as a bit of a threat, but our endeavor is never to make fun of anyone, ever. It's just a new take on these things. In the same way that you can watch John Oliver without doubting the existence of current events, you can watch and laugh about these things and not ridicule or mock anybody.
Good evening. My name is Matt Gourley, and I am an unusualist. I collect and curate stories of the weird and wondrous. I'm your safari guide into the strange. Tonight, we'll meet real people in the haunted woods, on the desert roads, under the looming skies where they encountered the uncanny. We'll relive their experiences and conjure their recollections around us.
The script for Unusualist, because you had a good idea with what you just described with the In Search Of, but with a lighter touch, was it a struggle to write the script or did it flow easily?
It was extremely easy in that there was no script. Most of, I would say, the best stuff in this comes out of the mind of my collaborator on it, Matt Gourley, who is one of my comedy heroes. He is a genius improviser. And so we would begin with a story that originated usually in someone's books attesting to whatever strange, uncanny experience they've had. So in a sense, that's a script. Once that is arranged and structured so that it'll work as a TV episode, Matt, in the course of an interview with this experiencer, will invent things on the spot. And then I, in post-production, will create additional sort of jokes and conceits and things that appear in like real-time reenactments that appear around both the guest and Matt. So there, we don't start with fade in and end with fade out. It's all much freer than that.
Oh, that's incredible. So you said he's improvising most of his lines. Like, again, he's doing some research, but he's improvising most of the time.
Matt is a genius. So there's that. And also he's one of the kindest souls I've ever met. And I think that enables us to have people who've seen strange things laugh with us as we go through their experiences.
I'm assuming you didn't do any rehearsals. You just went right through it.
It depends on the story. Some were cold starts, like what you're describing, but others we've worked on for a long time. So it would begin with Matt and I reading the book, going through the points, coming up with ideas for some things that he could carry into the interview. And then rehearsals, like some stories will begin as a table interview. We'll pull things out of that. And then we'll get the cameras. But some of the segments we've done are just, we just roll the cameras and it's coming out of Matt's wonderful brain.
Now, I'm not the first unusualist. From the breathless Himalayas to the depths of sodden Atlantis, my predecessors raced in with chattering 8mm cameras and only their turtlenecks to protect them. This film honors the style and spirit of their films, and I humbly hope to live up to their brave example. I don't have the rights to any portraits of these heroes of mine, so here are some pictures of their auras. Charles Fort wrote volumes on the preposterous and the incredible in his short life. Ivan T. Sanderson tracked the vicious Conga motto, had three kidneys, and was his own twin. He authored the classic Things and More Things, and its companion books, More Things and Things, before his sudden and untimely death. J. Allen Hynek, who also left us much too soon, much like Frank Edwards, Olavo T. Fontes, Morris Ketchum Jessup, every single one of them gone before their time. Arguably, under some pretty mysterious circumstances. Well, I suppose unusualists die as strangely as they live.
One thing that we learn when we talk to authors, some of these guys are best-selling authors, but they outline their books, and then they tell you, yeah, we outlined it, and then I pretty soon just threw it away, and I started doing something else. Now, you had a good idea, and you're improvising with the unusualists, but were there some surprising turns you took during the filming process?
There have been. They're rarely narrative because the budget is so small, and time is therefore so short that we can't go on like a grand excursus at some point. And the other thing we do is try to conduct the interviews on the spot where these things allegedly happened. So if we suddenly find out we have to be in another state in another decade, it's hard to run over there and do it. But yeah, I wouldn't say that at the level of narrative, we've ever done something unexpectedly so far.
Tell me a little more about the technical process of making the film. Like, generally speaking, what's the equipment you use and how do you edit your film?
Going forward, I may change the workflow somewhat because it was a little more arduous than I thought it was going to be. Because we're doing an on-location shoot, and then adding real-time reenactments as composites. So they appear around people like holograms. I had to green screen shoot after we've wrapped the interview. And this is a process that involves a lot of what they call rotoscoping, because the green screen isn't always, at least in my experience with my kind of the photography I'm doing, I have to go back and trace the outlines of everyone. And I think in the future, we may use somewhat easier techniques than that.
Okay, that's interesting that you're doing that rotoscoping process.
Luckily, I've escaped carpal tunnel, but like it is just a very tedious process. So hopefully in the future, we can use something like an LED wall or motion control cameras so that actors can just appear on the location we've used rather than having to go back and do these arduous composites.
Overall, you're pleased with the final product of The Unusualist?
Absolutely. And this is not because of me, it's because of the collaboration with Matt and other comedy heroes of mine and the wonderful production company, Moxie Pictures. This might be my favorite show. Again, not because of anything I've done, but just being able to sit back and watch what all those people have done and the subject matter and these stories and being able finally to have a more lighthearted tone about these fairly grim things.
I really love that it started with the idea of in search of a more comedic tone, because I have to tell you, a lot of people in my generation would absolutely love that. I remember being in college and sitting down talking to my friends about In Search Of, and we'd always say, yeah, when that music came on, you immediately felt like there was a darkness entering the room, and yet you were so compelled to watch it. And it was always something that was amazing to hear. Oh, these things are probably true. We have photographic evidence. And so you walked away with it with a very horrible feeling, even though it was Mr. Spock himself narrating these things. But I do think people be very compelled to watch The Unusualist because it's right up their alley, most of my friends.
I hope so. And that's the two key things, that feeling of as a kid in footy pajamas, having just seen Mr. Spock give you very bad news about the nature of the universe, which I guess was Mr. Spock's job in a lot of cases. That's gone from this. The idea is you can suffer grim things and look back on them and laugh. And the fact that you mentioned the music, it was like horror disco on In Search Of. And it was so much fun to try to create music in that vein for this. And so I got every emulation of every analog synthesizer from the era. That's 1978 to 82 or so. And it was my very first score and just had a ball, like, making horror disco for this in the spirit of that Rinder and Lewis.
I do have to ask you, like, what specific synthesizers did you use? Because I'm a musician, I'm not professional by any means, but I have been a little crazy about looking at vintage synthesizers. I could never buy one, of course, but please tell me some of the synthesizers you bought to make the score.
Absolutely. Some are anachronistic because they had a sound that I like, so I won't mention them first, but generally in that window, the Prophet 5. And these are all analog digital emulations. Prophet 5, ARP 2600, aka R2D2 from the Star Wars movies. I love the ARP Odyssey, which is like a tiny gigging version of the kind of same family a little later. There's a wonderful, oh my God, I hope I don't forget what this is called. It's something Brian Eno in the mid-70s would bring out. And it's, I think it's called a Synthy, like an OMS Synthy. And it made the most amazing synthetic wind noises, which were really important at certain bits of the story. One of the anachronisms was the DX7, which came out, I think, in 84. So it's a little after Unusualist, but it made especially like these FM harpsichord sounds that felt like kind of just does it. The Moog Taurus pedals with those really slightly indigestion sounding bass pads, bass notes. Yeah, that sort of stuff.
Welcome aboard plane 318, one of the Whisper liners. So celebrated for its quiet comfort. But now, Whisper's most discomforting gather about this vast aircraft and the secret at her dark heart.
If you were able to get an analog synthesizer of your dreams to start with, what would be your favorite?
I can't think of the specific model. It'd be more of like the early 80s, that Human League sound. That's what I would be after personally for myself. I do love those older 70s vintage sounds. They're really quite good.
Theme music, the lead sound is the Oberheim Matrix 12, which I think that's around the right vintage. But like those, if you look on eBay or whatever, are like buying several cars or something. I totally hear you on that.
You did a lot for the movie. You're the composer. I guess you wrote the shell of the film. And then, of course, you're the director and the editor. I've noticed with these short films, it usually is something where I think there's a term for it, but it seems to be like a prelude to a feature. Obviously, you had a lot of passion making The Unusualist, and I think it's, again, a wonderful idea. If it doesn't end up on somewhere in the cinema, it really should be in something like some really awesome streaming service. Do you have plans to make The Unusualist a longer feature film?
I would love to. I think it works as a film. I think it would be the most fun series to make just forever and ever on as a stream.
Series is a good idea, actually.
That would be, because that's the thing. The films would be fun. In Search Of began weirdly as a film with Rod Serling before it was
I did not know that.
Go look at, I think there's a full length version on YouTube. I think it's called In Search Of Ancient Astronauts or something like that. And it's Rod Serling who then passes away and you get Mr. Spock as kind of his successor. But yeah, I have been right now all pitching and development, of course, is on hold in solidarity with McGildies at the WGA. But if all goes well, I would absolutely love to bring this out and put it on TV, you know, so we could watch it on the regular.
Yeah, I know. I would love to watch a series. That's brand new news for me to learn about. Rod Serling was the originator of the In Search Of. I did not know that. My co-host on my podcast, Jake, is a huge fan of Rod Serling. So I'm going to pass that news along to him. That's really
two of them. I think there are two features with Rod Serling, and there is a wonderful podcast called In Research Of that in minute, wonderful, erudite detail follows In Search Of episode by episode. And I think they may have some material on the handoff from Rod Serling to Leonard Nimoy and the fact that in the first seasons of In Search Of, where Leonard is standing looks just like Night Gallery, the old Rod Serling Twilight Zone success.
I got to have to subscribe to that podcast. For our listeners out there, when can they see The Unusualist?
I'm not sure, actually. I'm not sure when and how it would ever find, hopefully one day. But at the moment, it's just in the vault and every once in a while appears at a festival. But yeah, if it's all right, I'll keep you updated when...
Oh, please do. Please do. It sounds wonderful. And I definitely would like for my co-host to screen it as well, because this is right up his alley. He would love it.
No, my pleasure. I would love to hear your thoughts on this very strange thing we've made.
What are your next steps, Mike? What do you plan to do next? What are some projects you have in the pipeline?
Again, things are on hold right now, but there's a feature that I want to do that I guess it's from podcasters who exist in both worlds, but there's a strange, I don't know, it's not like a symmetry, but a common interest between people who run podcasts about subjects like The Unusualist and also about tabletop role-playing gaming. And I have a comedy that I'm hopefully one day going to be able to put out in the world that is about my extremely nerdy youth rolling 20-sided dice. Yeah.
You know what's funny about that? We've been interviewing so many authors, particularly the ones who are in their 20s and 30s. And a lot of them are crazy about these tabletop role-playing games. I think that's an awesome idea.
But I'll keep it short. I'm glad that I know in advance that I won't tank the show by talking too much about saving throws and such.
My co-host, he's a DM, so he's the one who goes off on that tangent. And then we listen to later. We probably should focus on the books.
Oh my God, bless him. That's fantastic.
The Unusualist, Mike, that it's a film right up my alley. It's a film right up Generation X's alley. And I think any generation would like that too. Because the way I look at it too is, let's think about the podcast, like Lore is out. And so people are still doing it in search of experience, but they're doing it through podcasts these days. So I think they could easily relate to unusual is because of the different podcasts are out that cover this type of material.
Yeah, I do feel a strange sort of undercurrent of nerdy enthusiasm out there in the world for all these things. So I hope you're right. I hope it has an audience of people who like it a lot.
Mike, it's always so incredible to meet someone like you who, again, when you mentioned right on top of the interview in search of and then how I was influenced, I'm like, okay, this is going to be a great interview. It's just fun. So I root for your success. I hope The Unusualist does find that audience. And I hope you are able to develop that series you chatted about, because I think they're wonderful ideas. And so I wish you only luck, Mike. Listeners, The Unusualist, hopefully you'll get a chance to see that. But we're going to give you a lot of information on Mike and his work. And you have to check this out.
I am such a fan of the show. Thank you so much. Just a pleasure meeting you. And thanks again.
Mike, enjoy the rest of SIF. And again, it was a pleasure meeting you today. That was Mike Simses, the director of The Unusualist. And as you can hear, I really enjoyed interviewing Mike. It was just so much fun. Shortly after our interview, he sent a link to The Unusualist. And I, as expected, I completely enjoyed the short film. It's very true that it's a lighter touch to In Search Of. But Matt Gourley, who's the star of the short film, he's got the turtleneck on and those horn rim glasses. It's pretty hilarious. You know, they do treat the story, this mystery of a, well, it's hard to describe, but it's about a pilot who I believe who had perished. But suddenly he's appearing in a an oven. The ghost of him is appearing in the oven of another plane, and he seems to guide it to safety somehow. It's pretty hilarious, but you know, they treat it in a realistic but comedic manner at the same time. I honestly think this will be a great series on someplace like Sci-Fi Channel. Be a great warm-up to Resident Alien. Truthfully, it just reminds me of a touch of Drunk History along with some science fiction aspects. I think would be really wonderful. Again, there's many podcasts out there like Lore, etc., that cover these types of subjects. And I think it would be really funny to have something like The Unusualist. I also think it'd be a great way to invite a bunch of comedians to do improv on their story, much like Matt Gourley is doing on the film himself. So I really do hope that Sci-Fi Channel has a chance to watch The Unusualist, because it's a great idea for a TV series. So listeners, again, I really enjoyed speaking to Mike. I hope that, you know, he's able to get The Unusualist in front of many people. So fun to talk to him about his movie, The Unusualist. So fun to talk to him about vintage synthesizers. And yeah, if you did not know it, the music that starts and begins, that starts the show and ends the show, is actually from Mike. It's the theme from The Unusualist. Really enjoyed meeting him, and I hope to have him back on the podcast down the road. We'll leave links and information on Mike Simses and Matt Gourley and Moxie Pictures in the show notes. We hope you're enjoying our coverage of the Seattle International Film Festival 2023. I do want to thank the SIF press team for arranging the interview. They not only handled the logistics, but they also reserved a press suite at the Grand Hyatt for Mike and myself. So big thanks to the SIF press team. Well, that's it, folks. We'll see you in the next episode. We have a lot more SIF coverage, and we'll be releasing a few more of those episodes very soon.